and Sparky Smith, a dog psychologist and expert in human change and systems thinking. Our mission is to keep dogs in homes who might otherwise be surrendered due to complex behavior issues. And here's what makes us different. We know that these issues can't be solved with quick fixes. They require a science-driven system thinking approach to truly make a difference. We fill the gap by offering real solutions to dog parents who lack the resources to navigate these challenges. We stream everywhere. And for our patrons, those people that support us, we offer guides, infographics, and free courses, all for the price of a Timmy's. Or for those of you not in Canada, that would be the cost of a small black coffee. What's in it for you? The tools, the science, the insights to transform your dog's behavior and create a balanced, happy home. Does this guy look like he's managing your dog's stress well? Not quite, right? That's Conrad, your dog's executive function. Think of him as a coach on the sidelines who's supposed to keep things under control, but right now he's taking a nap. And when Conrad's not paying attention, guess who's picking up the slack? That's right, Tom, your dog's emotional responder. Tom's running around in your dog's brain like mad, trying to keep everything together, but he's overworked and exhausted. With Tom in overdrive and Conrad snoozing, your dog's reactions go through the roof, barking, lunging, overreacting to everything. It's chaos, plain and simple. But here's the good news. By the end of this episode, we'll explore how recognizing Conrad's state, whether he's alert or snoozing, can help us give Tom the break he needs. Once we help Conrad wake up and take the reins, your dog will regain the calm and control they need. So stick with me as we talk about how to get Conrad back on track, woken up, and bring balance to your dog's reactions. In this episode, it might be helpful to have a pen and paper on hand for taking notes. But if you're driving or on the go, don't worry. You can always check out the moments list in the episode description to easily revisit key lessons and instructions later. Now, patrons will benefit from guides supporting this episode. And if you're interested in supporting this channel, check out our Patreon link below. Trauma in dogs is complex and varied, and it doesn't always look the same. Maybe you've adopted a dog with a troubled past, or perhaps a dog has lived through a stressful environment marked by instability, mental illness, or harsh treatment. In some cases, trauma stems from subtle ongoing dysfunction within the home, leaving your dog confused and anxious. But whatever the cause, trauma can profoundly shape your dog's behavior, affecting their ability to trust, feel safe, and interact with the world around them. Through my work with dog parents, I've seen how trauma unfolds in different ways. Some dogs becoming hypervigilant, constantly scanning for dangers, where others withdraw and become distant or fearful of their surroundings. And sometimes trauma surfaces in unexpected bursts of aggression or extreme anxiety. These behaviors are not signs of a bad dog. They're responses to overwhelming experiences that your dog may not have the tools to cope with. I'm also see dog parents who are surprised to learn their dog is showing signs of clinical trauma responses that they just thought were bad behaviors. Parents can then feel saddened. Sometimes they feel guilt, sometimes shame for being misinformed in their approaches to dog care. But they can also feel reaffirmed that they are providing a safe home free of stress to a dog with a poor past. Now, given what we've just discussed, let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered if your dog's unexplained behavior could be linked to past trauma rather than a training issue? Now, by the end of this episode, you're going to learn how trauma impacts a dog's ecosystem, how to recognize the signs of trauma and be given an opportunity to have your dog assessed for potential trauma. So what is trauma? Well, trauma is any experience that overwhelms a dog's ability to handle stress, and it can come from many sources. Whether it's a one-time event or a series of stressful interactions, The truth is, trauma could be the unseen force at play, reshaping your dog's behaviors in ways that are difficult to understand, but are crucial to address. And it's tempting to focus only on the behavior we see, but every aspect of the dog's life is impacted. Okay, so trauma, again, is any experience that overwhelms a dog's ability to cope. And it can range from physical harm, like injury or abuse, to emotional harm, such as neglect or abandonment. While we often think of trauma as a single devastating event, it can also be the result of smaller but repeated stresses over time. Research by Suter et al. 2016 shows that traumatic experiences can leave a lasting impact on a dog's behavior and well-being, particularly in breeds that may be more vulnerable. And to make it even harder, trauma doesn't have a single face. Some dogs might become overly cautious, refusing to engage or explore, while others, you know, they might exhibit unexpected bursts of biting or growling. Dogs are similar to children who've experienced trauma in this way, that they may both withdraw or act out after trauma. And like children, dogs react to stress based on their individual temperament, history, and environment. And I don't mean to draw direct parallels between a child's brain and a dog's brain, because they are different, which I go into later in this episode. But in some ways, it helps us to recognize that the trauma a dog goes through is similar to what a child goes through in some ways. However, unlike children, you know, dogs cannot communicate the complexity of their experiences. So it makes it so much harder to understand the full scope of their distress. And let's face it, advanced psychological therapies are not in place like they are for children. So we must turn to systems thinking, because its power is in taking complex problems and simplifying them and finding solutions. And that fits our criteria. If you remember from episode one, a complex problem or a persistent problem is not one that's easily solved. Okay, so given this, could it be that your dog's unpredictable behavior is actually a sign of trauma? Could it be that it's their way of asking you for help, even if they can't communicate it the way we expect? What we may be missing when we see their actions as just be bad behavior is the fact that there could be deep-seated trauma. So now that you know this, what do you think about the idea that your dog's behavior is a piece of a much larger puzzle? But trauma impacts everything about a dog. And to understand it fully, we need to look at the entire system, from the cellular level of a dog to the cultural factors that influence how dogs are treated. And each level affects the others, creating a complex web of influences that shape a dog's experience of trauma or recovery. So let me paint you a picture, okay? So imagine your dog's life as a puzzle with different pieces coming together. Let's explore how these interconnected systems work together and shape the resilience of our dogs to recover and manage unexpected traumatizing events. And this brings to mind a question. What happens on a cellular level that could be affecting your dog's trauma response? So at the most fundamental level, a dog's DNA and biological makeup influence how they experience trauma. Genetic predispositions, like traits passed down through generations or through the lineage of your dog, can make some dogs more prone to anxiety and stress. Epigenetic changes, which are the changes in gene expression caused by life experiences, can also make a dog more vulnerable to trauma. These genetic and cellular factors influence how a dog's brain and body respond to stress, shaping their resilience. Now think of it this way. Your dog's genetics act like the foundation of a house. If there's a crack in the foundation, stress can seep through. In other words, some dogs are born more likely to be anxious or stressed, and life experiences can change how their genes act. So considering this, ask yourself, could your dog's anxiety be hardwired into their genetic makeup, making them more vulnerable to stress than you realized? Possibly. So what's happening inside the brain when trauma occurs? Let's take a look at the neurobiological system. A dog's brain structure and nervous system are central to how they process trauma. Changes in the brain, like overactive stress responses, and here I'm going to direct you back to Tom, where he's always looking for threats everywhere and where Reggie sends more and more activations. Now, if you're not familiar with why I'm talking about Tom or Reggie, you really have to look at episode 1, part 2, that talks to brain characters and how they function in order for us to make sense of neuroscience in a much more simple way. So Reggie, who controls the nervous system and is responsible for the fight or the flight or the freeze response, which we also call the red and blue pathway, become hyperactive in traumatized dogs, making them more sensitive to triggers. These systems are essential to understanding how a dog's resilience to trauma is shaped. But what happens when Tom becomes overprotective and sees danger when there isn't any? That's when your dog's reaction might seem unpredictable. It's really there that their brain tries to shield them from perceived threats. In simple terms, trauma changes how the brain, Reggie, Tom, Conrad, Viv, work, and it makes them more sensitive to stress. With this in mind, have you ever noticed your dog becoming jumpy or overly sensitive? Maybe their brain might be stuck in an overprotected mode, right? But it's not just the brain. Trauma impacts the whole body too. Let's look at the physiological systems. The immune system, when a dog is under stress, and certainly when they're traumatized, is weakened, making the dog more vulnerable to illness. And then there's digestive issues, like upset stomachs are common in stressed dogs. I see this all the time in my practice, where a dog has multiple problems with their stomach and their digestive issues. Then there's cardiovascular health, which can also be affected as chronic stress puts pressure on the heart. Then there's hormonal imbalances like elevated cortisol levels, and they are often the result of prolonged anxiety. What if I told you trauma even disrupts sleep? Now, this is one often overlooked issue, sleeping difficulties. Now, dogs need around, get this, 15 hours of sleep each day for a healthy brain function. I mean, we struggle with 8, but they need 15. So when trauma disrupts this, their ability to recover and build resilience is so severely impacted. Trauma can make a dog's body sick. That's the bottom line. It can cause stomach issues, weak immune systems, stress hormones, and it can disrupt their sleep. But now that you have this insight, let me pose a question to you. Is your dog getting enough sleep, or could trauma be keeping them from the rest they need to recover? Now, I have to talk to you about deep quality sleep, because this is where a dog wouldn't notice you getting up and leaving. This is where you see them snoring or twitching or having a dream. This is deep quality sleep. It's not dozing with one eye open, right? So as you look at your dog's sleep after this podcast, consider if it is really deep quality sleep, because it's great to measure it, because we're always looking at 15 hours of sleep being the gold standard, but I'm even comfortable with 12. The thing is that many dogs with trauma are not sleeping nearly that much. Now let's take a step back. Think about how you feel when you're running on just a couple hours of sleep. I know for me, I am grumpy and irritable and I can't think. I can't connect the dots. So for a dog, it's much worse. Simply stated, trauma affects how a dog feels and behaves. They may become scared, aggressive, or struggle to learn and or end up becoming sleep deprived. Now, given what we've explored, does your dog behavior make more sense now when you think about their sleep and emotional state? Now, how does trauma affect your dog's day-to-day feelings and actions? So let's explore at a behavioral level what trauma does. On an individual level, trauma influences how a dog feels, thinks, and behaves. Emotional responses like fear and anxiety and aggression are common. Cognitive processing is also affected. Dogs may have trouble learning, remembering, or focusing. Behavioral manifestations like hypervigilance, withdrawal, or destructive habits are a direct result of the emotional and cognitive impact of trauma. So the next question I have is, what role does your household play in your dog's recovery? Now we're going to dive into family dynamics. A dog's relationship with their human family and other pets in the home are key to understanding how trauma develops or heals. So positive, stable interactions can help a dog recover, while chaotic or stressful relationships can worsen trauma. Changes in the home environment or routine can disrupt a traumatized dog's sense of safety, where inconsistent training approaches amongst family members, harsh training methods, or dominance-based approaches all can create and worsen trauma. How well the family recognizes and responds to the dog's trauma symptoms will shape their recovery journey. In other words, how the family treats a dog matters. A calm, loving family can help the dog heal. So what happens when a traumatized dog steps outside of the home? Let's look at the social environment. A dog's trauma doesn't just affect their home life. It also changes how they interact with the outside world. Socialization becomes a challenge as they may react strongly to new things like dogs, people, or environments. Traumatized dogs are often hypersensitive to various stimuli like loud noises or sudden movements. And I discuss this in a blog on our website, dogparentology.com, and it's called Dog with Sensory Processing Sensitivities. So it's like this. If you could imagine for a moment being in a crowded, noisy room with flashing lights, that's how a dog, a traumatized dog, feels in everyday settings. These sensitivities can make it harder for dogs to engage in everyday activities and interact with others, affecting their social skills and resilience and their quality of life. Okay, so let's now consider where a traumatized dog lives that would impact their trauma recovery. The environmental factors. Where a dog lives plays a big role in their trauma and recovery. Urban environments with lots of noise and limited space may increase the stress for dogs. Well, rural settings might offer peace, but also it does introduce new triggers like unfamiliar animals or environments. So what do we do? Well, the predictability and safety of a dog's surroundings is crucial. Traumatized dogs thrive in environments where they feel secure and know what to expect. So what if I told you that your own stress can affect your dog's recovery? Because in urban settings where there's a lot coming at them, your ability to co-regulate will be key. And that means to calm yourself down. The place a dog lives, whether city or countryside, affects their stress and recovery, and so do you. That's the bottom line. A dog's history is critical to understanding their trauma. Rescue dogs have come from troubled past, and being surrendered is a horrendous ordeal for any sentient being hardwired to be bound to a human being. If they have witnessed abuse or violence or been abused themselves over time, the level of trauma increases. Let me ask you this. Have you ever considered how your dog's past, even events that you may not know about, could be shaping their behavior today, especially if you have an adopted dog where you don't have a lot of history? So we look at those early life experiences such as poor socialization, neglect, or past traumatic events, and they can all have a lasting impact on how a dog handles stress. The key takeaway here is that a dog's past, including their breed, abandonment, and early life, shapes how they respond to trauma. So let's now consider how culture plays a role in treating traumatized dogs. So cultural attitudes towards dogs vary, and these views shape how trauma is understood and treated. In some cultures, your dog might be seen as a valued companion, while in others, they might be viewed more as a working animal or property. These attitudes affect training methods, care practices, and even the accessibility of veterinary and behavioral care. But while cultural attitudes may differ, it's important to remember that their capacity to experience trauma and their neurobiological responses to stress are fundamentally the same everywhere. And much like a child, psychologically, a culturally sensitive approach is crucial when considering how to treat traumatized dogs and build their resilience. Now let's turn our focus to professional support, because when we're thinking about trauma, we may require that. Veterinary care, behavioral specialists, and support systems for dog parents are an essential part of the recovery process. However, in some cases, especially in Canada, support for traumatized dogs is limited due to the lack of advanced psychological education for professionals. Many dog parents struggle to find the right help for dogs, and access to trauma-informed care is scarce. This lack of support structures for traumatized dogs is one of the reasons this podcast exists, to bridge that gap and provide caregivers with the knowledge they need. Now, in the rest of this episode, we'll offer you a practical tool to gauge trauma in your dog and help them heal. So far, we've discussed different systems that can support your dog. Veterinarians, behaviorists, trainers, but here's something you need to know. If your dog has experienced trauma, it is certain that their executive function has been impaired. That means their brain has room for development. Now, this is crucial insight because while we often focus on behavior, the real issue lies deeper in the brain's ability to regulate emotions, make decisions, and control impulses. And that, if it rings a bell, is Conrad, right? It's the character that we've introduced as Conrad. He's the executive function. And Tom impacts Conrad and how he functions, especially the areas responsible for making those decisions. When Conrad is impaired, your dog loses the ability to regulate emotions, control impulses, and adapt to stress. Trauma forces Tom, the part of the brain responsible for detecting threats, to work overtime, leaving your dog stuck in a constant state of stress. The unpredictable behavior you see is a direct result of this neurological imbalance. What makes this complex is that trauma impacts on Conrad or the executive function can vary depending on your dog's age, individual resilience, and environment. So some dogs may show subtle signs while others may struggle more visibly. But make no mistake, trauma affects the brain and specifically the executive function, even if the signs are hidden or only appear in certain situations. So what if you long suspected your dog has been traumatized and you've had trainers, calming techniques, and even medications that have never truly resolved the issue? Well, you can think now, is there something deeper that still hasn't been addressed? And what if the answer lies within all those system layers we just reviewed? And what if instead of just treating the symptoms, I could focus on the specific neurological key that could help heal my dog's trauma for life? Well, that's what's coming up. So let's just pause for a moment, because what we're doing here is urgent. Dogs are being surrendered every day due to behavior issues that can be solved. But without the right support, they end up in an overtaxed system, often facing uncertain futures. This is where you come in. By subscribing, liking, or becoming a patron, you're not just supporting this podcast. You're actively helping to keep dogs in loving homes. But first, let's determine if your dog could be traumatized by asking, what does Conrad look like when he's impaired? So trauma often hides behind common behaviors, making it difficult to spot. The signs can be subtle and easily mistaken for other behavioral issues. And unlike children who are traumatized and can tell us what's going on, dogs can't. They can't tell us what they're going through. So I'm going to give you a series of discernments, things that you can think about before you look at the signals to determine whether it could be a trauma-based signal. The first discernment on your part is to ask yourself, have trainers, calming techniques, or even medication truly resolved the issue? That's number one. And if the answer is no, then signs to look for include withdrawal, aggression, or changes in behavior that were not there before, like new habits. The second discernment is if you already know your dog came from less than ideal circumstances. The third is to reflect on circumstances that would not be trauma signals, like pain or the normal developmental behaviors of puppies or adolescent dogs, because puppies and adolescent dogs are maturing and they're trying new things out. The fourth is to consider if your dogs may be from a working line, especially challenging when you have a mixed breed. We don't know which genes are the most powerful in the dog. However, as dog parents, you must understand that a working line dog, it's not a pet dog. And in keeping a genetically wired dog who needs to work as a pet is like having an Olympian on your couch and you say, would you like to go for a calm walk, where all they want to do is work out hardcore. Now, the fifth discernment is it a genetic trait? And the only way to tell that is if you've met the mother of the dog. You're looking for behaviors that signify trauma that she's experienced or anxiety that she may have passed on to the dog. These are some of the ways to determine potential trauma in your dog. Okay, so now I'm going to tell you about some of the signs to determine potential trauma in your dog, but use those five levels of discernment first. So if you have a dog that's hypervigilant from the early days of you having your dog, meaning they're constantly scanning for danger, or they withdraw, they become distant or fearful of surroundings, unexpected burst of aggression, or growling, and extreme anxiety. Despite growing awareness of canine trauma, the current approaches to treatment often miss the mark because they fail to consider the complexities that occur between a dog's biological, emotional, cognitive, and environmental factors. That is why I created the NeuroBalance Wheel, which I'm going to tell you about now. It's specifically designed to develop Conrad, strengthening your dog's executive function so they can heal from trauma and relieve Tom from constantly carrying the burden. By focusing on developing Conrad, you can make the biggest impact on your dog's recovery and long-term emotional stability. The NeuroBalance Wheel addresses those underlying neurobiological and emotional dysregulation that drives these behaviors. So it's what's missing from what we have today is a comprehensive systemic gauge for dog parents that anyone can use regardless of background or circumstances. Now, I'm going to be providing this to you and explaining it to you in the next section. I just ask that you help out other dog parents by subscribing to your channel, allowing others to know about us so we can keep dogs in homes. This is all about you, the dog parent, being given a tool that evaluates not just dogs' outward actions, but the internal processes that shape the ability to recover from trauma. Let's start with step one, understanding the six key indicators. Now, what you want to do is have your pen and paper ready as we go through these six factors. With each of these factors, we're going to use a scoring system of 1 to 5, where 1 is poor or limited or low, and 5 is great or good or fantastic, right? So the first one is impulse control. The question we ask here is, can your dog stop and think before acting, or do they react impulsively? 2, movement. Is your dog's movement calm and controlled, or are they frantic and unpredictable? 3, ask for assistance. Does your dog seek help when they're unsure or stressed, or do they isolate and try to handle it on their own? 4, delayed gratification. Can your dog wait patiently? Or do they act impulsively when they want something? 5, working memory. Does your dog remember what they've just learned? Or do they frequently forget what you mean by your request and lessons? 6, flexibility. Can your dog adapt to new situations or changes in their routine? Or do they struggle with anxiety and resistance? Step 2. So now that you have those factors, you're going to observe and evaluate. So we're going to observe your dog's behavior over a few days or during specific scenarios, paying attention to how they respond in each area. Use the 1-5 scoring system that I mentioned to evaluate each factor. So as you think about impulse control, does your dog pause before reacting, or do they impulsively bark, lunge, or act out? So 1 would be like reacts immediately and without thinking, where 5 is they consistently stop and wait for cues before acting. Okay, next is movement. Are your dog's movements smooth and controlled, or do they seem anxious, frantic, or hyperactive? So 1 would be like frantic, jittery, or excessive movement, where 5 would be calm, smooth movements, even in a new situation. Okay, let's look at asking for assistance. Does your dog look to you for guidance when they're stressed, or do they try to handle it alone or avoid the situation? 1 would be isolates, like avoids eye contact or does not seek help. They basically are making decisions on their own. 5 is to consistently seek guidance and reassurance from you. Okay, delayed gratification. Can your dog wait when they want something like food or attention, or do they immediately act out? So 1 would be unable to wait. They act impulsively when they want something. And 5, they can wait calmly even when they're excited. Okay, let's look at working memory. Does your dog remember what you mean by a request or a previous lesson? Or do they often need repetitive retraining? So 1 is could look like that they're frequently confused, that they don't understand. And 5 would be that they retain it and apply lessons well. Right. Okay, let's look at flexibility. Does your dog adapt to new environments or changes in a routine, or do they struggle with stress and anxiety in new situations? So 1, it's highly resistant to change, and they react with stress and anxiety. And 5 would be adapts well to new environments or changes in routine. Okay, so step 3, what we're going to do is we're going to score each of the indicators. So once you've observed your dog in each area, you're going to assign a score between 1-5 and be honest with your assessment to gain the most accurate understanding of your dog's current state. Okay, let's move on to step 4, analyze the scores. Once you've scored each of the 6 factors, review your dog's results. Scores of 4 or 5, well, your dog is doing well in this area and shows signs of recovery or stability. And Conrad is there and working well with Tom. But scores 1-3, your dog may be struggling in this area and indicating emotional or neurological imbalances that need attention. So look for patterns. For example, low scores in impulse control and movement may indicate that your dog's stress responses are still highly reactive, while low scores in asking for assistance may suggest that your dog is not comfortable seeking help from you during times of stress. So you need to work harder on your relationship. Step 5 is to create a recovery plan. Using the results from the neural balance wheel, you can focus on areas where your dog scored lower, like between 1-3. These are areas where trauma might be affecting your dog most deeply and where you'll want to focus your efforts. Step 6, reevaluate over time. So you repeat the neural balance wheel evaluation every few weeks or months to track your dog's progress. Using this tool, continually assess the improvements being made and celebrate them. And you can also identify where additional support is still needed. So today, we've uncovered the deeper reason behind your dog's behavior issue, how trauma often hides behind common behaviors like aggression or fearfulness or withdrawal. You've learned how trauma affects everything from your dog's brain and body to their social interactions and environment. Most importantly, we've explored the role of the executive function, and we've learned how important it is when we're dealing with a traumatized dog. The neural balance wheel was designed specifically to help with building up the executive function, or CONRAD as we know it. And it's designed to rebuild that essential part of your dog's recovery. Now that you understand the impact of trauma on your dog, you can take steps to evaluate their behavior using the neural balance wheel and start building their resilience. Use the 6 indicators we've covered today: impulse control, movement, asking for assistance, delayed gratification, working memory, and flexibility to get a full picture of where your dog needs support. And don't forget to reassess over time to track their progress. As always, your support allows us to continue this work, keeping dogs out of shelter and in their homes where they belong. So if you found this episode helpful, share it with other dog parents, subscribe and like, and consider becoming a patron. It's very, very easy. And that simple act of kindness keeps dogs in homes. You know, I know this. Together, we can provide dogs with the tools they need for recovery. Thank you so much for listening. And I look forward to hearing about the progress you make with your dog.